I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 33. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting out his garments, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also made game of him, coming up, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And there was also an inscription written over him in Greek and Roman and Hebrew letters. This is the king of the Jews. I don't want to go through this passage verse by verse or word by word, because I think just reading it afresh as a whole touches your heart if you're a believer, and the prayer of many in this room would that it would touch your heart tonight if you're an unbeliever, that you see the Lord Jesus here in his final moments, completing the work that he had been sent here by God to do. They came to a place which is called Skull, and there they crucified him. This is a very familiar story, I'm sure, to many in this room. It is, in fact, the greatest event that this world has ever seen. It's the greatest event that the Bible records. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. It is a moment where love and grace and righteousness mingle together, if you like, and you see God's love and God's grace and his righteousness all come together in this single one event at the cross of Calvary. It is the most awful and the most awesome moment in the history of humankind. They took him to a place called Skull, and there they crucified him. You know, the Bible, in the Old Testament, you can see how important this moment was to God by the amount of prophecy that God has included in his Old Testament. How many times in the Old Testament do you see pointers towards this single event? He says, doesn't he, somewhere, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And this was the Lord Jesus here, bearing that curse, bearing that judgment of God. Why? Because of your sins and because of mine. As a sinner, dear friend, you are under the curse, under the judgment of God. But here we have one who has borne that curse for you, hanging there on that cross, so that you can go free. You look at in this passage here and in the other passages in the Gospel, you see the Lord Jesus, and he is suffering at the hands of men. Think of the indignity. Think of the hatred. Think of the enmity that he suffered at the hands of man. The worst wickedness was expressed here at the cross of Christ. The worst wickedness that man could do, putting a perfect man on a cross at Calvary. And when you read this passage, you know, doesn't it touch your hearts? How many gospel meetings have you sat in? How many times have you heard the story of the cross? How many times have you heard the story of that wonderful love of God shown out in this death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have you heard about him going there for you and dying on that cross so that you might go free? Suffering at the hands of man, and two, suffering at the hands of a holy and a righteous God. Why? Because of your sins and because of mine. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and there is a price to be paid for that sin. The Lord tells a story. It's about two debtors who both owed money, and he says they had nothing to pay. And that is the position that you and I find ourselves in as sinners before a holy and righteous God. There is nothing to pay. But God, in His love and in His grace, has seen the position that we find ourselves in, hopeless and helpless before Him, and sent His beloved Son to die on a cross so that you can go free tonight and your guilt and your burden of sin can be removed entirely. When you read a passage like this, does it mean nothing to you? Does it not touch your hearts, dear friend, to think of what has been done on your behalf? Jeremiah says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by?" Are you passing by tonight, dear friend? Are you passing by another opportunity to have your sins forgiven and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? Are you looking at what has been done on that cross in indifference? You know, back in this passage here in Luke, there were those that turned their back on the cross. They gambled over the Lord's garments. There were those that mocked. What's your response to the cross of Christ tonight? Because that's the important question. It doesn't matter who's sitting next to you. The gospel is going out, being preached to you tonight, dear friend. And it's important that you make your response to what has been done in the gospel. The cross of Christ stands here tonight as God's witness of His love and of His righteousness. And what are you going to do tonight, dear friend, in response to it? Look at what has been done on your behalf. Are you going to pass by? Are you going to move away and leave this room tonight, still in your sins, still not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Or are you going to turn tonight in repentance and in faith and come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour and know what it is to have peace with God? Well, it's all because of what happened here on this cross. It stands here tonight as a witness, and it stands here tonight as effective as it ever was. When you look at what was done on that cross, the blood that was shed on that cross, is as effective tonight as it ever has been in the whole of the time the gospel has been preached. Tonight, dear friend, you have an opportunity to have your sins washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He was there on that cross not because of His own sins. The Lord Jesus was perfect in every way. He had no sin. It says Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? So that He might bring us to God. Our sin has separated us from a holy and a righteous God. But because of what happened on that cross, the distance has been removed. And tonight, dear friend, you can come and know what it is to come under the full force of God's free and full forgiveness because of the blood that was shed on that cross at Calvary. That's what the Bible calls reconciliation, you know, that coming back together. We have moved far away from God. But by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled. We can be brought back. And we can know what it is to find ourselves in the presence of God as made fit there. Not as sinners, but we can come under the shelter of His precious blood. What a message of joy and salvation and peace is being preached in the gospel. And it is all because of what happened here on that cross. You know, He was absolutely perfect. Perfect in every way. You know, you read through the Gospels, all four Gospels, and in each of the Gospels, the way that the Lord spoke and the things that He did, they just speak as to His perfection in every way. Even those that stood against Him, His accusers could find nothing that He did wrong. Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man," I think. Judas, in the end, had to attest to the perfection of the Lord Jesus. Pilate, he had to publicly proclaim that the Lord had done nothing wrong. It was there time and time again. And in this passage in Luke as well, the thief, "This man has done nothing amiss." The Lord Jesus, perfect in every way. And ultimately, you know, what was God's valuation of His beloved Son? He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I found my delight." God and man attested, testified, witnessed to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every way. So why is he here on this cross? Well, he's there because that's where you and I should have been. He's there because he took my place where I should have been. He was perfect, but he was there because I am very imperfect. And I know that my sins required a debt to be paid. And the only debt, the only way that that debt could be paid in the sight of a holy and a righteous God was by the giving and the sacrifice of his beloved Son. There was no other way. There was no other way. And it involved God sending his Son to die on that cross. And there we see him on this cross here, answering to the holy and the righteous claims of God. You know, I can say that the Lord Jesus took my place on that cross. I can look at that cross and I can read the accounts in the gospel. And I can, in a small way, perhaps realise that that was done and done for me. But I wonder, dear friend, the question is important that you answer. Do you realise that it was done for you? Can you look at that cross and see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there and say, that made my peace with God? Or is it just a story that you know quite well? Or is it something that you have taken hold of for yourself? And it's about a person that you know as your saviour. Because the Bible has all sorts of stories and events, and all of them true, you know. But it's no good just looking at the Bible as an account of history. It's no good even looking at this story, this event, this account here of the crucifixion as a great event in time. You must take it home to yourself, dear friend. What does it mean to you? When you look at the Lord Jesus on that cross there, what does it mean to you? Pilate asked the question, didn't he? He said, what must I do? You know, what shall be done with the man, the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's the question that goes out tonight. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Walk out of this room again, hoping to come back to hear another gospel message next week. Well, dear friend, you may never get the opportunity again. Tonight, today, is the well-accepted time. Let us not trifle. Let us not gamble with our eternal salvation. Tonight, dear friend, is your opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. Why do you need a Saviour? Why was he there? Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our position that we find ourselves in. We've fallen short of God's standard. Oh, don't we know it's true, dear friend? Don't we know it's true that we're all sinners? You look back on today, this week, this year, and you think of all the things that have been said, you've done, you've thought, all these things, all taken account of, all the secret things, all the things that nobody will ever find out about. But you know, God knows each and every one, and each and every sin. One day, you will be required to answer for each and every one. An account is being held. And dear friend, tonight, you have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you can know what it is to have that great burden of guilt that you carry round with you completely gone, never to be brought up again. The Bible says, you know, Romans says, the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. As I said, you know, Jesus never sinned. Death had no claim on him. But we, you know, we're sinners. Sinners by nature. And sinners by action as well. We stand accused in the sight of a holy and a righteous God, with nothing to pay. You know what the answer is? It's this act of favour of God. And God is able to give you tonight eternal life. Why? It says, in Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a righteous basis, you know, because of what Christ did, to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. You know, what a wonderful thing it is to know that it rests not on your merit, but on the work and the worth of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What peace you can have in your soul, knowing that your salvation isn't based on what you've done. And it never will be, and it never has been. But it's based entirely upon what was done on that cross at Calvary. The blood that was shed on that cross stands for time and eternity. God is able to look at the blood. And because of that sacrifice, he can move out tonight towards you and offer his full and free forgiveness if you'll come and respond to the gospel message in repentance. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you have nothing to offer, but that Jesus Christ has done it all, and done it all to God's eternal and complete satisfaction. You know, do you really think that God is going to let you off the hook, if you like, when it comes to your sins? Romans says, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment." God will deal with you about your sins. You know, you look at what happened right at the beginning in Genesis. One sin was enough to shut the Garden of Eden off. To think of the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you think ultimately about what sin means to God in the sight of a holy God. He spared not his only Son. That's the awfulness of what sin means to God. It required the death of his only begotten Son in order to deal with the sin question. You really think you can pay off your sins? You really think you can do anything except turn in repentance and faith when you're faced with the account of what God had to do in order to settle the sin question forever? It is the only way. It required the giving and the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. What a cost it was to God. What a cost it was to his begotten Son, so that you and I have a righteous basis on which we can say that we have found our forgiveness. It cost God everything. There is no other way. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, was forsaken so that I can be forgiven. And you know, you might look around the room here, and there are many people in this room that know what it is to have their sins forgiven. But again, I ask you the question. Do you know what it is to have peace with God? To have your sins forgiven? To have that hope and joy in your heart of knowing what it is that your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west? The act of favour of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It was done once and once forever. You know, the book of Hebrews can be quite a complicated book, I think. But there's some bits that are very straightforward. And it says in the book of Hebrews, "But now once in the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice. For as much as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this the judgment, thus the Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many." It happened once. It only needed to happen once, because in that one single moment in time, in that one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ completed everything to God's full satisfaction. He completed everything to God's glory. You know, we have a hymn somewhere in our hymn book. It says, "God is satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied as well." There's nothing more that I can add. How could I possibly add to the perfection that was found in this sacrifice? The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in life, and he was perfect in his sacrifice and his death as well. Perfect in every way, all the time. And God could look on that sacrifice and be satisfied. And now, because of what was done on that cross, he is able to offer full and free forgiveness. Well, are you going to come to know what it is to have your sins forgiven? You know, the blood that was shed on that cross, it stands there as an eternal witness of what it cost God, but two, it's my peace. I can look at that blood that was shed on that cross and know that I am free. I have never got to answer for those sins ever again, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for them in full. The sacrifice has been made. The work has been done. And now, dear friend, the answer to this great message of hope, this great message of love, this great message of righteousness is coming to you. And what will your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? You know, God looks on that blood. And you know, the Bible says that we're justified by the blood. It says that we're cleansed by the blood. We're redeemed by the blood. Peace has been made by the blood. It all comes down to this one event in time. And tonight, dear friend, your answer comes down to this here one event in time. This is the moment where you, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the moment that will affect your eternal destiny. If you come now in repentance and in faith, you start a brand new life. And you can look back on this moment. And when you stand in glory with all those that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed for himself, it will be this moment that is the cause of that. It will be this moment where you, in faith and in repentance, turned to the Lord Jesus and found in him a Saviour. It'll be this moment. But don't let this moment slip away. Now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What a message. What a message of joy. What a message of peace is being proclaimed to you tonight. And what will your response be? It was there on that cross that they crucified him. It was there on that cross that the whole question of sin was dealt with. And all that is required of you now is to come and respond to what God has done in the giving of his beloved Son. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Romans says it is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Nothing can ever be brought up again. That's why Christianity is a... We talk about joy in Christianity. We talk about peace in Christianity. And it's all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In fact, everything is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Christianity is not signing up to a set of rules. It's not signing up to an ideology. It's not signing up to a religion. It's coming to know a person. A person that we read about here in Luke. A person that was crucified on a cross so that you can go free. And it's a person that we sang about in our first hymn, that is now seated at the Father's right hand. And it's a person that is coming back very soon to claim all those that belong to him. It's all about Jesus. All our blessings are through him or by him. It's all about him. It's all about the person that we read about here in Luke. There they crucified him. Well, dear friend, what are you going to do with Jesus tonight? Are you going to come to know him as your Saviour? Or walk out of this room with your sin and your guilt still attached to you? Oh, don't let that be you, dear friend. Come to know him tonight. He loves you. He's done everything for you. He stands ready and waiting to forgive. What are you going to do with Jesus?
Amen.
Can we finish, please? 155. 150.